20 minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
Good morning, and it is Pack-A-Day. I'm Jake Turner alongside my co-host, my partner in crime, and he will be doing his comeback with BobMcGinnFootball.com. He is Mark Eckel, and Mark, mercifully, thank you. This did not go into overtime. The Packers and the Raiders game has finally come to an end. Oh, my goodness. We got a lot to get through here in about 20 minutes or less. I can't believe it if we're going to be able to find 20 minutes of it, but we're going to do our best here. So you're sitting there having your morning coffee and listening to Pack-A-Day, of course, here. And so the Raiders win this one 13-6. Probably saw the worst performance out of an offensive line I've seen, not since probably the Lindy Infante years, but we'll get into that as well here. But Mark, let's start off with this. Packers lose 13-6. The loss is not the big problem. It is the depth at offensive line. Do you agree?
Well, yeah, but I mean, let's put things in perspective here, Jake. You're not going to play those five guys together,
right?
Ever again. I mean, if you do, that means all five of your starters are hurt and the season's over. So it doesn't matter,
right?
It's hard to judge an offensive line when it's like that. I mean, Kyle Murphy was awful tonight.
Yes.
Hankey was awful tonight, but they're playing, you know, with five backups against the Raiders starters, by the way. So
agreed.
I mean, that wasn't even a fair test.
Right.
You know, it was hard to watch because the line was so overmatched. And then the second half was even worse, which I thought it might get better. I figured the Raiders would put backups in and they would hold their own, and they were worse the second half. Kizer didn't have a prayer. He didn't play well on top of that. But, you know, again, the worst news of the night, forget the offensive line, forget anything, was that,
right,
and it might not be that bad of news, is Burks getting hurt. How do you get hurt in pregame warmups? But
he hurt his
shoulder in pregame warmups and didn't play. It doesn't look like it's too serious, so probably be okay for the Bears game. But as a rookie playing inside linebacker, he needs as many reps as he can get. And I think, you know, you kind of wanted him out there tonight playing at that first half with most of the defensive starters. So to me, that was the worst news of the night. I don't care about the score. I don't care. who cares? It's preseason. You know, I mean,
oh yeah,
you know, and the Packers played it that way. I mean, they went for it on fourth down early when it was a real game. You'd been kicking field goals. The Packers also had two touchdowns called back. I mean, the penalties were out. I mean, it was a slot. It was as good as last week's preseason game was, and I thought the Steeler game was about as good as a preseason game and as entertaining as a preseason game can possibly be. I mean, this was what preseason games look like. I mean, this was a bad, bad preseason game. It was how many penalties and yards of penalties did the Packers have? Like
200? There was at least 9 penalties apiece for each team, actually. And there was
it was awful.
Game.
And two penalties brought back Packer touchdowns.
Yes.
An offensive one and a defensive one. I mean, it was, you know. But with all that aside, there were some good things.
I think, and if you want to talk about good things here, and first off, I just want to say this to our audience here on Pack-A-Day here. I'm kind of a sarcastic guy, so I wanted to talk about the offensive line being one of the worst because I know that Packer Nation is going to wake up in the morning. Well, I know this is exactly how they're going to...
And we said this last week. I mean, I think come cut down day or even prior to that, if you want to make a trade, the Packers need a veteran backup tackle. They do. I mean, they really do. I'm not sold on Murphy. I really let me down tonight. I thought he might be okay. He wasn't good tonight. Spriggs actually wasn't awful. He had one penalty, but other than that, I thought he held his own. But they really do need a veteran tackle just in case something were to happen to Brian Bulaga or David Bakhtiari. Inside, I think they're okay. I think either Bell or Murphy could be an okay backup guard. Patrick could probably be okay as well, playing with the other four good players. But they do need one. And they also, they might need a backup inside linebacker too.
Yeah, let's jump into the linebackers, of course, here, Mark. First off, let's talk about the Packers inactives here. So Aaron Rodgers not playing. Jimmy Graham didn't play. Jake Kumerow did not play because he has an injured shoulder. Devontae Adams, Randall Cobb, Kevin King, Jamal Williams, Devon House, Devontae Mays, hamstring injury, Trevor Davis, hamstring injury. Now, the news that came out from Tom Silverstein of the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, he said that Owen Burks looked like that he hurt his arm, but there was no sling. So that is the good news there.
That's the good news. The bad news, like I said at the beginning, was that he did get hurt pregame and didn't play. And like I said, if this was a veteran, I'd say, oh, no big deal. I mean, certainly don't play him with any kind of an injury in a preseason game. But if the preseason is for anyone, it's for the young kids. It's for the rookies who are going to be counted on. And Burks is counting on to be a starter. And he probably will. He probably still will be. But, you know, he needs to be out there. He needs to be out there with the other starters. He needs to make some plays, you know, just be in the system. So that was, to me, that was the worst thing of the night. Now, some of the good things of the night.
Let's go into the good things.
I'm going to start with Jamon Moore, who, you know, we talked about it last week. He was struggling, dropping passes, but he worked that. And I said it's going to be up to him and the Packers coaches to put in the extra time, which apparently he did all week. He was the first guy out on the field, the last guy to leave the field, working with on the jugs machine, working on catching the ball. And he made a couple of nice catches tonight.
Yeah, he looked really good. 4 receptions, 62 yards. Had a beautiful one that went for 27 yards as well. Also, Geronimo Allison looked good. 2 receptions, 40 yards. He'll definitely make himself known for that third wide receiver spot. Lance Kendricks didn't really look that good. I thought
he dropped a touchdown pass.
He dropped a big
early
one.
In the game.
Yeah, dropped a big one there. But, you know, the one that really shocked me the most is how far Marquez Valdes-Scantling and D'Angelo Yancey have dropped already. And then, of course, St. Brown as well. Equal unanimous St. Brown. Boy, they're just dropping like stones right now, Mark.
Well, I mean, Scantling didn't get the ball thrown to him. It's hard to do anything did he have a pass thrown his way? I don't remember seeing him have a pass thrown his way.
He had a couple of passes thrown his way, but they were incomplete and they were very badly thrown. And that
it wasn't
was
like, but what I'm saying is he didn't drop any. I mean, you know, I don't think it'll be a different Scantling. Valdes will be fine. I'm not worried about Valdes Scantling ever. We can mix that up a little bit, but when Aaron Rodgers is a quarterback, I think receivers will tend to look a little better. So I'm not worried about him. And like I said, Moore, I think, is right back in that number 4 or 5 spot. St. Brown has been invisible the whole preseason. I don't think he makes the team. I really don't. I don't think that. I mean, there's a reason he dropped into the sixth round. It wasn't a bad gamble to take in the sixth round on him. You know, they could probably get him to the practice squad. And that's probably where he belongs. Trevor Davis, you know, hasn't played a snap.
No.
But by not playing, he might be increasing his chances to make the team because the return game has not been very good.
No, that really makes Ron Zook, the special teams coach, Rick, look really bad because that since Ron Zook came, that special teams has not been up to par the last couple of years.
Trevor Davis had a heck of a year last year as a kick returner and a punt returner.
He was
third in the league in punt returns and eighth in kickoff returns, maybe?
He was okay. I mean, it wasn't really anything to write home about.
He does some dumb things back there, but he's not a bad return guy. He isn't. He's better than what they have, and I think he might make the team because of that, if he can get healthy.
All right, let's jump to the defense. So now we know that Burks, you know, was out with an injured arm, so Thomas was in tonight. But Reggie Gilbert just continues to look dominant, and I think he could really make the starting spot here for the outside linebacker.
Well, I don't know about that because he's not very good against the run, and he was exposed a few times tonight. I think Reggie Gilbert is your classic third down pass rusher, and he'll be very good at that. Perry and Matthews are going to start outside. I don't think there's any I don't think Reggie Gilbert's going to unseat either one of them. However, I do like the idea of having Reggie Gilbert out there on passing downs and moving Clay Matthews inside. And now you have, like we have said before on our during his podcast, in this defense, the inside linebackers can come often too. And Mike Pettine's when he was with the Jets, his inside linebackers would get almost as many sacks as his outside linebackers. So if you have Clay Matthews inside with Perry and Gilbert outside, look out. Look out. They're all coming.
Yeah, and that is exactly what I saw. I mean, even though that the Packers only had one sack tonight against the Raiders, there was a lot of good moments where there was some quarterback hurries. They had to get the ball out. And it never looked like, aside from Derek Carr, Connor Cook couldn't get in a groove. E.J. Manuel looked awful as well. I mean, there was a lot of struggles, and I really give a lot of credit to Mike Pettine and that depth of that Green Bay defense, which I have not been able to say for quite some time when it comes to depth on the defensive side. But you got to feel really confident right now if you're a Packers fan.
Yeah, the Packers defense, and we've been saying this, I think the defensive line is obviously very, very good. Kenny Clark, again, played very well tonight.
Unbelievable.
Mo Wilkinson's going to be just fine. Mike Daniels didn't even play, but you know what you're going to get from Mike Daniels. And then you have the backup. Kyle Lowry's not a bad guy to rotate in. Montavious Adams. Up front, they may be as good as they've been in a long, long time. Linebacker, like I said, the outside, I'm fine. I'm fine with Matthews, Perry, Gilbert. Kyle Fackrell actually had some pressure.
Yeah,
tonight.
He looked good.
I mean, again, if he's not going to play a lot, but if he can give you 15 plays a game or so and get some pressure as a fourth linebacker and play some special, I mean, I think they hoped for more when they took him in the third round, but it looked like he might not even be able to do that going into this season, but. So I think outside linebacker, they got a little depth. Inside linebacker, the depth scares me a little bit because, with Jake Ryan out for the year, unless Clay is going to move inside sometimes, then that helps a little bit. But the secondary is where I'm real thrilled right now. I mean, Josh Jackson with another pick six. I mean, it was called back, but not the penalty had – nothing to do with his play. The penalty came up on against Herb Waters on the other side of the field. Another great play by Jackson, who made some other good plays during the game. A pick by Alexander, who also made some good plays during the game. The secondary is much improved, and I think that's gonna allow them to blitz more. And with Alexander and Jackson and King and Tremont Williams, it's gonna be a pretty good defensive backfield now, as opposed to what we've seen the last couple years.
Yeah, Jair Alexander, he had a terrific interception in the second quarter. Really definitely showed it. Yeah, you got to feel good right now for this Packers secondary. Josh Jackson had a couple of good moments as well here. The one thing that really got to me, though, the most was how fast, I guess you could say, that the secondary looked tonight, how fast they were to the ball, how quick they were on the man-to-man coverage. I mean, what do you see that you haven't seen in the past Packer defenses that you see now with Mike Pettine and the secondary?
Well, the secondary, like we just said, I mean, it's just better players. I mean, they have five good corners. I mean, the three young guys that we just mentioned, and then Tremont Williams, savvy veteran, at one time was a very, very good Packer cornerback. He's getting a little older now, but he played pretty well last year with the Cardinals. I don't know how much they're going to ask out of him. I think, he's going to be – he'll be starting at the beginning of the year, but I think eventually the kids will take over. He mentioned tonight – they interviewed him. I was watching the Packer broadcast with James Lofton and Kevin Harlan. They interviewed Tremont during the game – and he mentioned he may even play a little safety this year, mm-hmm. which is very interesting. I thought about this earlier in the day when I saw a quote this week from Packers defensive back coach Joe Witt, who mentioned those five guys that I just mentioned, the five corners, and just saying, you know, he likes them all, whatever. It's not important what the quote was, but he mentioned those five guys. I'm curious, when the Packers go nickel and dime, if they might not have all their corners out there instead of safeties.
That's interesting.
I mean, you want your best players on the field, right? I mean, if they're your five best cover guys, why not? If Tremont Williams can play in, I mean, I think they can get away with it. Or maybe, you know, maybe when they go dime, you have those five and Clinton Dix.
You're listening to the Pack-A-Day podcast here on iTunes. You can also find it on Stitcher and Google Play here. I'm Jake Turner alongside Mark Eckel. We'll be making his comeback with BobMcGinnFootball.com. Joining us, Packers lose 13-6. They go to 2-1 on the preseason. They will finish next week at Kansas City. Give me one player on offense and defense whose stock rised tonight.
Offense, obviously, I'm going to go with Jamon Moore. His stock it was a penny stock a week ago. Now it's back. It's not quite blue. It's not in blue chip range anymore. But it's back. You know, it's back on the board. And he's going to be a good player. There's no, I mean, when you have his size and his speed, you know, you can't give up on that. And I give the kid a lot of credit because he worked. From what I read, he worked all week. Like I said, from staying late after practice. You know, he was saying all the right things. He put it on himself, and he came out tonight and played a pretty good game. So Jamon Moore, without a doubt. Defense, I might surprise you here a little bit. I mean, it's easy to say Gilbert, but his stock was a blue chip stock all preseason. I'm going to go with the late round draft pick Kendall Donerson. I thought he made some plays in the third and fourth quarter. He was always around the ball, very active. I think he's going to steal one of those last spots at linebacker.
I really do hope so, because I really just like the way that he plays. He came from a small school, Southwest Missouri State, and he's done a really good job. You know, he's been dealing with the likes of, you know, if Owen Burks having a great camp also, and then you got Ahmad Thomas battling for the position as well. So, you know, Kendall Donerson, though, he's really stepped up his game and just gets better every week, I'd have to just say.
He impressed me tonight. It was a hard game to watch, like you said. But I'm not saying he's going to be any kind of a standout this year, but I think he might make the team. Might not even dress for games. Who knows? But he made some plays, and I think he's going to make the team. He was a draft pick, and you know how GMs are with your draft picks. They like to keep those guys, and tonight he showed that he's worth keeping.
All right, give me one player on offense and defense whose stock has fallen.
Ooh. Offense tonight, I got to go with a guy that I really like, but Kyle Murphy. He was not good tonight, and he was back on the right side, which is where he's normally been pretty good, and just didn't have it tonight. He was getting beat around the corner constantly. But he's my offensive stock falling. Defense, man, most guys played pretty well. I have to pick one guy out. I'm going to go with Lindsey Pipkins. Got called for pass interference in the end zone that allowed that for the Raiders' only touchdown. Right, you know, that it allowed the Raiders to score their only touchdown. I should say. Got beat on another play. I don't know. I assume the Packers will keep six corners. I mean, maybe they get away with only keeping five if they have the five that they really like. But that sixth spot, if they keep one, is open. And I don't think Pipkins helped himself in winning that job tonight.
I think you can also make an argument for Herb Waters. I think he had a bad night as well. Especially.
Oh yeah, he's terrible.
Yeah, he looks horrible.
I don't think he has it well. Does he have? Was he in the mix even?
He was in the run, like in the run tonight, when they was trying to stop the run off the outside. He could not get off his block for the life of him, and he just kept tripping over his two left feet. He looked like a bad ballet dancer. It was embarrassing.
Yeah, I mean, I don't even think he was. I wasn't even considering him in the mix for his spot. But
right, he just
yeah,
keeps,
I mean, yeah,
yeah. But that's
he,
the thing,
he'll,
Mark
he'll be
is.
Cut soon.
That's the thing, though, Mark, is that it is guys like Herb Waters that have still made this team the last couple of years because
right,
of Pitt
exactly.
Thompson. Now you got this new regime in, And it could be taking out guys like Herb Waters and Quentin Rollins and all this stuff and send them packing.
Well, yeah, I mean, they're not, I mean, there's going to be a lot of, I mean, there's 90 guys on the roster now, and 37 of them aren't going to be on the roster. I mean, 10 of them might make it to the practice squad, but yeah, I mean, this roster, when it's, September 1st is when the roster gets
picked. Yes,
it
is. That's the cut day.
And then they might do some tweaks, like we said, after that, if they make a trade or pick up a guy. But it'll be a much better, the bottom part of this, the bottom, say, third of the roster, okay, or maybe even bottom quarter of the roster, will be much better than, I think, what the Packers had the last year or two. I mean, the starters starters have been good the past couple of years, and I think they'll be pretty good again. But the bottom of this roster is going to be. I mean, if Devon House is your fifth corner, mm-hmm, that's pretty good. He was your number one corner last year, wasn't he?
Absolutely.
Imagine that. Think about that for a second. Devon House, when opening day last year, Devon House was the Packers' number one corner. He could be number five this year. That tells you right there how much better the defensive backfield is.
Yeah, you could definitely say that overall, this roster looks far more improved than we've seen the last couple of years. Aside from the offensive line, that's the only one, in my opinion,
that's the problem.
I can only find that's the flaw right there, and maybe the inside linebacker position. But
that's
because
of injury, though. If Jake Ryan's healthy, I'm not really that worried about
the final question.
You have a good...
Final question. Even with Owen Burks being hurt, does this end the Khalil Mack rumor mill for the Packers?
No. Until Mack signs with the Raiders, I mean, that rumor's going to be out there, because what are the Raiders? I mean, if the Raiders really are going to move him, you got to think about it, don't you?
In a way, yes, but then you got to give up two first-round picks.
No, I'm not going to. No, 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 no.
No, what are you saying, Mark? Wait a minute. If the Packers decided, okay, let's just play devil's advocate here for a minute. If the Packers truly decided to go get Khalil Mack, what would the Packers give up to send to Oakland?
Well, if it takes two number ones, I got to think about that for a long time, but I offer them a one, another pick, maybe a one and a two, and maybe a player.
Would that player be Randall Cobb?
No, why would it? Well, only the Raiders would be dumb enough to want Randall Cobb as part of that deal. He's in the last year of his contract. He's older, but the Raiders think Gary Nelson can still play, and they think all the other bums that they signed this offseason can still play. They think E.J. Manuel's an okay quarterback. I mean, the Raiders, I mean, John Gruden, and I love John. I've known John forever.
Yep.
Well, I think he still thinks it's when I don't think he realizes that how many years have passed since he last coached. Because those guys were good when he was coaching before, the guys that he signed this offseason. I mean, the Raiders are not good. They're not going to win many games this season.
It's going to be an interesting season for the Raiders, I'd have to say. But you know what? It actually,
if,
I actually
if
feel...
6-10 is interesting.
I'd have to say, kind of, I told you before the night started, I'd say 7-9 Raiders, but maybe I'm being a little kind. Maybe I'm just being a little kind, but
6-10, 6-7-9, call it what you want. They're not going to be good.
But I think
and
we can say
it's because they're. I mean, we don't want to turn this into a story, but they're. I mean, why are they having a problem signing the best defensive player in the game?
You never know with Mark Davis. You really never know here. But, I mean, I think we could safely say, though, Mark, you know, since we started this Pack-A-Day podcast with Andy Herman of GZTV.com and several other great hosts and writers as well, that the Packers, they might be going from, you know, okay, now this has become an interesting year, to a year where this team should make the playoffs.
Oh, God, yeah. They better make the playoffs.
Like, there should be confidence across the city of Green Bay right now after some of the performances we've seen on defense, which has been the biggest Achilles heel. And, you know, as Packer Nation right now, sipping their coffee, listening to you and me here on Pack a Day, we can safely say that the Packers are going to be a really good team this year.
Oh, I agree. I mean, again, like I tell anyone who asks, They were 4-1 last year when number 12 gets hurt. 4-1. I don't know what that. I mean, you know, I'm not going to say they would have been, you know, 12-4. I don't know what they would have been, but if 12 doesn't go down, they make the playoffs again. And in the playoffs, you don't know what's going to happen. Anything could happen. I mean, would they have beaten the Eagles? I don't know. I mean, the Eagles' defense gave up a lot of points in that Super Bowl. I'll tell you this, they would have given a better game than the Vikings did with a healthy 12. I mean, it all starts there. I mean, with every team, it starts with the quarterback. And, you know, when you lose your quarterback, it's hard to do anything, as we saw last year. It's amazing they won as many games as they did.
Yeah, it felt like a lost season here. And also, you could definitely tell that there's some difference in this Packers, because in all my years of being a Packers fan, I've never seen Mike McCarthy just say, you know what, dress rehearsal, we had ours last week. Now we're just, Rodgers, just take the rest of the couple weeks off, and then we'll get ready for the Bears come September 9th.
I've been around a long time. I remember the way things used to be, and I know the game's so much different now. And it's not just the Packers. I mean, a lot of teams are following Mike McCarthy's lead here by not playing, you know, starters much at all in preseason. And that does lead sometimes to a sloppy first couple weeks.
Yeah, you know? We had that last year, but at the same time, we also had a massive amount of injuries to some of the biggest stars in the NFL. It was a freak accident.
I agree. I'm not disagreeing with what they're doing at all. I wouldn't play Aaron Rodgers. You know, I don't want anybody getting hurt in preseason. And knock on wood, the Packers have had other than – and Burks got hurt in pregame. What did he do?
I don't know, Mark. But
the only other person in all my years – I covered Eagles for 32 years. The only player I remember, Hollis Thomas. Remember that name, big defensive tackle?
I remember Hollis Thomas. Yes,
he got hurt once. He hurt himself in pregame and missed a year or something. It was something grim. Like, I remember asking him, Hollis, what did like? He just, I don't want to talk about it. I'll never forget that conversation with him. Like, he like tripped coming out of the lot. I don't know what he did, but he hurt himself and he was done for that season. And this was during the regular season, but still, fortunately, it doesn't look like it's too, like you said, there was no sling on the arm, so that's good news. But I was just pointing out that when you don't play at all in the preseason, and Aaron Rodgers played one series in preseason this year.
Yeah,
you might get off to a slow. You know, don't be up, Packer fans. Don't be like panicking if the season gets off to a slow start because of the... Now, again, I don't know what they do in practice every day. We're not at practice, so maybe they're getting a lot done there. I mean, and the coaching staff knows what they're getting done. They are there. They're running practice. So I've had coaches tell me through the years, we care more about what goes on in practice than we do what goes on in preseason games. So... take that for and the Packers are one of the few teams that do go ones against ones. Keep that in mind. So that's a good thing. You know, their number one offense goes against their number one defense. Most of the teams I've been around, the number one offense go against the number two defense and vice versa. So going ones against ones, you probably do get more out of that than you would a preseason game sometimes.
Well, as usual, Mark, you know, we're hitting we're hitting it right now, early Saturday morning here.
Oh, yeah, it is. Let me ask you one thing.
Go for
it. What's going to be for you, because I don't know if we do this again before final cuts, what's going to be for you the toughest position to cut down? And what players are we talking about?
Boy. That's it. Either it's a tie between the wide receiver or the tight end, because we got a lot of different receivers out there. They've all shown some sparks here and there, but you know, some of them are going to have to go. You know, even though Jake Kumerow had a great preseason, but now he has an injured shoulder, And I saw the same thing with Chaston West a couple of years ago. And then the tight end, you know, Lance Kendricks is there. Jimmy Graham. We know Jimmy Graham's going to make it. Mercedes Lewis is going to make it. But is Bird going to make it? Is Lance Kendricks going to get traded? Is he going to be thrown on the waiver wire? I mean, yeah, that's the only ones I'm actually looking at the most that I feel like might see some. Like you talked about it, Mark. I think Lindsey Pipkins took a big step back tonight.
Yeah, he did.
And Herb Waters.
I thought he had a chance.
I think that really showed.
That's why I mentioned him when you asked. Tight end, I would love to see the Packers trade Lance Kendricks. If they can get something for him. Because at best he's going to be your third tight end, right? Mm-hmm. And he's making like $2.7 million. Mm-hmm. That's a lot of money. That's a lot of money for a third tight end. Now, if he can go somewhere else and be a one or a two, then that's worth it.
Right. And it definitely helps the Packers going forward here.
Yeah, if they can get a sixth-round pick even for him, okay. Or better yet, get a backup. Is there a team that needs a tight end but has a little bit of depth on the offensive line? Maybe you can make that kind of move. Trade him for a backup lineman.
Per usual, Mark,
we'll
as
see.
Usual.
We'll see.
We can go on. You know what? Me and Mark, we could talk for an hour if we wanted to here. I think,
yeah,
Mark, I think we might have to talk to Andy about that a little bit.
let's leave it on this point. I think with the new front office, the new regime in the front office,
yeah,
I think they'll be more active and there'll be more activity on September 1st than there has been in the past where – you know, I think the Packers will be looking closer to making trades and even upgrading that bottom of the as much as they have upgraded the bottom of the roster, like we said earlier. I think they're going to continue to try to upgrade the bottom, like Ron Wolf used to do. Mm-hmm. Ron Wolf was always tinkering with those last 3-4 spots on the roster, always looking to bring in somebody a little bit better, and he did. And until he got to the point where, okay, these are 53 guys I really like. I think we might see a little bit of that going on.
Yeah, and speaking about Ron Wolf, it was great to see him at the stadium tonight, you know, lighting the fire for the late Al Davis, who, you know, gave Ron Wolf his biggest opportunity.
Yeah.
Then he goes to Green Bay, takes what he learns, and, you know, it was really cool to see. It was a nice big Packers reunion, you know, seeing the likes of Gruden and Ron Wolf as usual. And Mark,
and
you
McKenzie.
Know.
And McKenzie. Was there, you know, as well.
And McKenzie, Reggie McKenzie.
Guy, not a Raider GM.
Yeah. All right, Mark. Well,
okay.
As usual, great stuff here on Pack-A-Day. And if you missed any of this, you can find this on iTunes, Buzzsprout. We always play it up on Twitter, so we'll always have links there. Just remember, this is Pack-A-Day. This is your 24/7, 365-day-a-year podcast that covers your favorite team, the Green Bay Packers. So for Mark Eckel, who will be making his comeback, do not miss this. He will have his comeback for BobMcGinnFootball.com coming up
September
in the next
1st.
Week.
September
1st.
The site will be back September 1st.
September 1st, yep. That's the next time that you'll hear us here on Pack-A-Day. Don't forget to check out my latest article coming out on PackersTalk.net. That's next week as well. Going to be part of that. So a lot is happening here, Pack-A-Day. We just keep growing and growing here. So, and that's thanks to our owner once again, Andy Herman of Cheesehead TV. So for Mark Eckel, I'm Jay Turner. This was your Pack-A-Day podcast. Please have yourself a wonderful weekend. And as always, go Packers. We'll see you next time.
Shotgun formation of 3rd and 15 to the 46-yard line of Dallas. They empty the shotgun. Cobb in motion to the left side. Rodgers looks it over, gets the snap. Backpedals now under some pressure. Steps up, throws it over the middle. Good, Adams! 30, turns upfield, 25, cutting right to the 20. 15, 10, 5. Devontae Adams to the south end zone for the touchdown. Rodgers looks it over, starts to his left. Now he moves, starts to the right side. Snap to A-Rod. Looking downfield, being flushed. Rolling left, winds up. Rainbows it high and deep into the end zone. It's high point and it caught. It is caught for a touchdown.
Yes!
A miracle. Pass up. Yes!
Caught
in the end zone.
Can you believe it?
Unbelievable. One kick away from the NFC Championship game. From the 41. Left hash mark. 51 yard. Field goal attempt. Snap. Placement. Kick. To the uprights. And it is right down the middle. It is good. And the Packers are going to the NFC Championship game.
Green Bay